Likewise, the first person in Odysseus's household to recognize him unambiguously is the person who has been holding the household together the whole time he has been gone. And that is a servant, his old nurse, Eurycleia. And she, too, shows excellence and arete. But my favorite passage of all is that arete is not entirely confined even to human beings, because the first conscious being to recognize Odysseus when he comes home is a dog. The dog Argos, a wonderful name for a dog, who is 20 years old, which is darn old for a dog, and Argos has to have been a big dog because he was a deer hunting dog, trained by Odysseus before he left, and Argos has been waiting for 20 years for his master to come home. And the suitors, because they don't do anything respectfully or right, have treated the dog like dirt. He's outside lying on a manure pile, as Homer said, covered with the vermin of dogs. In other words, he's flea-bitten. Nobody's taken care of him. He barely has strength to lift his head. But after 20 years, he hears Odysseus, as it goes as follows. He heard Odysseus's voice nearby, and he did his best to wag his tail, nose down, with flattened ears, having no strength to move nearer his master. And Odysseus looks at him and recognizes him, and even sheds a tear, but he can't show it. So he says, "These guys aren't taking very good care of this dog," and it annoys him. And then death and darkness in that instant closed the eyes of Argos, who had seen his master, Odysseus, after 20 years. No better dogs out there than old Argos. But excellence, arete, in this world, can be achieved by anybody. What you gotta want to do is try to achieve it. You can even make things that have arete, and even things themselves can have arete. It finally means that surpassing excellence in any context. One other major theme, and this is a theme that we can file under another great Greek term called nomos, which means, as translated, custom or rules. But what it really means is something more like the way things should be, or the way things are supposed to be. In the absence of enacted law, what holds society together is nomos. Still. And the offense of the suitors, who from one perspective don't look all that bad and pay for their bad behavior with their lives, is that they have been day after day for 1,000 days systematically, scornfully ignoring nomos. And in the world of the Odyssey, you can't get away with that. You can't do that. You can't day after day scorn the rules that people live by and wallow in doing stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing. If you do that, sooner or later, nemesis is coming, and you're going to get it. And the homecoming in the Odyssey is, in a way, not just the homecoming, not just the reassertion of order. In Odysseus's personal life, it's the reassertion of order in Ithaca. It's nomos reasserting itself. And that is deeply a Homeric ideal. I should tell you one more thing about the Odyssey before we move on, as we shortly will, to an entirely different subject, which will form the rest of the lecture in a moment, which is the birth of tragedy and the origins of Greek theater. And that is that in antiquity, the Odyssey was often interpreted in this way. The first part, the part about what you could call the labors of Odysseus, the sirens, and who have this song that is irresistible, and the Cyclops and all the rest, that was taken as a way of talking about building up the strength of character so that you could resist what seems irresistible through foresight, so that you could develop the mental characters that you need to be a fully functioning, maximally functioning person who shows arete.